going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is Total Information AM on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. We wrap up this week's series of interviews with the founders of the brand Luso. As you've heard, this St. Louis-based women-owned enterprise is bracing for what may happen to their brand because of Trump administration tariffs. They operate a carefully curated Clayton boutique and have a design house for luxury fashion for female sports fans featuring dozens of professional sports teams. I asked Rhea Ranick, Chief Creative Officer, and Melissa Nieberle, CEO of Luso, about the challenges of manufacturing in the United States.
When we started our design house business, we worked for 2 years in the United States with U.S. makers. We tried really hard. That was like a hope of ours that we could make that happen. But the reality for us was that, to just be honest, and I think this is another thing that I think people just don't understand about, you know, ripping off the Band-Aid like this doesn't allow for any creation of infrastructure or management of the existing situation for us in apparel manufacturing is particularly challenging in the U.S. So I think that that's just a piece that was not a reality for us. We were not able to make that happen and be competitive in the sports license space. So, like, you know, a lot of the stuff in the sports license space is not made in the United States. So so you're right out of the chute, they're looking for price competitiveness, and we were not able to get, I mean, we were willing to be a little bit higher priced because we are a higher end boutique fashion brand in the sports apparel space. So we were like, okay, we can push it a little bit, you know, because our customer is used to a little bit higher price point because they're paying for better fabrics and, you know, trendy silhouettes and things like that. So they are used to that, but only so much. In the United States, when we tried to produce in the U.S., it was significantly higher. So we just knew that we weren't going to be able to be competitive in the market. So we went to other places, and we do now manufacture in many countries, not, like I said, not just in China, but there are certain pieces of equipment that are only there, and skilled labor, people who understand how to work with certain fabrications. Drea can speak more to the kind of the design piece of that, but that was something that was just, it was not possible for us. So where we can, we do it, and we support it for the boutique. We have a little tiny bit that we're still able to make in the U.S. on the design house side for sports, but it's minimal.
Let's talk about that wholesale side and that design side and some of the challenges that you're facing, not just where things are being manufactured, but also where you're pulling in the ingredients, as it were, for those things.
Components.
That is interesting because components are a very complex thing. We source from all over the world. So our products can be made in China, in India, in Mexico, in Canada, in LA. But certain components are made in different places. So a lot of the metal components, small components that go into, say, a handbag, all of the
zippers,
all the metal components, all of those things are almost exclusively sourced from China. So even if we have something made in the U.S. or we have something made in India, they are likely still getting those metal components from China. So that adds into the cost of the item, kind of no matter where it's coming from.
What's the reality of trying to create a whole new manufacturing chain in the United States for these items?
I think we manufacture in Los Angeles now, and we've been manufacturing in Los Angeles for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So, and we, anytime we can manufacture inside the States, we will always manufacture inside the States. And sometimes things are a combination too, like they're partially constructed in LA and then they get shipped to Mexico because Mexico has factories that have certain machinery, say for like athletic wear, the kinds of performance seams you need on performance product. Maybe there aren't factories in the US really that do that kind of construction. So it gets shipped to Mexico for partial construction. It comes back to the US to get finished, to maybe get labeled, to get embellishment, all of that kind of stuff. But anytime we can manufacture fully in the U.S., we will. There's very little apparel manufacturing left in the U.S. What is here, there used to be some in New York, and very little of that is left. So what's left is mostly in the Los Angeles area. And I will tell you that the manufacturers that we work with have been struggling over the last 4 or 5 years, and the manufacturing has been getting smaller and smaller each year. So at this point, the infrastructure is really not there. So the people that are doing it in Los Angeles, it's not vertical manufacturing the way that overseas is vertical manufacturing, in that you can go to a single factory or single manufacturer that runs all their same factories, and every part of the construction process is done very efficiently, which is also part of why it's less expensive. And everything is done very efficiently. And in the United States, what's happening is it's mostly small businesses, which is fantastic. And we love supporting small businesses. But it's really like a factory that does all the sewing. There's a factory that does all the knitting. There's a factory that does all the embellishment. And then there's maybe an agent or an overseer that we hire. And that person is going from place to place and making sure that each step of the process is being managed, and then it's being transported to the next step of the process, and then that's being managed and then being transported to the next step of the process. And so that makes a naturally more longer window of time, more complex. So there's a lot more managing and babysitting to it. And then it's more expensive to have someone that's managing that whole process. And you're paying each different factory separately, right? So it's just so much more complex. So ideally, and this is something that we work with, I'm on the board of the St. Louis Fashion Fund, trying to bring some manufacturing back to the U.S. and back to St. Louis specifically is an ideal thing. But right now, the U.S. doesn't have that kind of skilled workers. We don't have people that are trained on the kind of machinery that we need. We don't have the machinery here. Most of that machinery is made overseas as well. So then there is the complexity of buying the specific machinery that you need overseas. This is a very complex process to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I would absolutely love to see it, but that is a 5 to 10 year complex working process that needs to be a part of a federal infrastructure planning process to really bring manufacturing back to the States.
That is Drea Ranick, Chief Creative Officer, and Melissa Nieberle, CEO of Luso. If you've missed any part of our discussion this week, you can listen online, the Total Information AM podcast at KMOX.com, or use it on the Odyssey app.